Will you join me in our opening? This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Amen.
Will you stand?
God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated, and let the boys and girls come forward at this time. I have something to discuss with you and to talk with you about. Would you come, please? You're feeling better. Good. Well, I'm glad to see you folks today. We are going to talk. We're going to talk about people who. Are you okay? You go right. I like your boots. We are going to talk today in our sermon about the children of Israel and how they got to griping. You would all don't ever gripe, do you? Do you gripe? Do you gripe? Do any of you gripe? Oh, my goodness gracious, it sounds as if griping is a universal thing that happens to all of us. we will find something to fuss about. Have you ever heard anybody fuss about the weather? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anybody fuss about politics? We don't have to go far to hear people fuss about politics, do we? No. Well, once upon a time, the children of Israel were griping. And God heard it. And God said, I am so tired of hearing you fuss. Do you think anybody ever gets tired of hearing us gripe? Do you get tired of hearing somebody else gripe? Well, this means that God gets tired too. Because, you know, we're created in the image of God, and God has feelings. God can get angry, and God can get happy, and God can get tired of people griping. So one time, he got so tired, they were fussing because they had too much food. Can you believe that? So this time, he sent snakes. That's right. Do you all like snakes?
No.
No. Does anyone here like snakes? Does anybody? Are we uneasy when we see snakes? Mm-hmm. I think we're getting into this one. Yes, a snake immediately gives us lots of things to be frightened of. Well, God decided, all right, I'm tired of you fussing, so here's a bunch of snakes. And these were the kind that bit, and you might even die. And then all of a sudden, they start whining again to God. Oh, you're going to kill us all. Do something to help us out. Oh, no, all these snakes, we're sorry. We've been griping. He says, please send something else. So what happened was that God did do something. He tells Moses, and he's the leader of this group of people that like to whine. He told Moses, you go and make yourselves a bronze snake. Bronze is a kind of metal. Make yourself a bronze snake, and I want you to put it on top of a pole, and every time somebody is bitten by a snake, if they will look at that snake on the pole, they'll get better. Can you believe something like that? So, God sent judgment, but also God sent a remedy. The remedy was a snake on the pole. Now look at this. See this? Look at the snake on the pole. Two snakes with the wings on there. See those two snakes on the pole? Now this is a symbol of medicine. And if you were to see a V in the middle of that, that's veterinary medicine. And those are the folks you take your pets to when they get sick. This is a symbol of medicine. But it comes from the Greek culture. That's all right. Hermes is that symbol. But we have adopted it as a medical symbol, which goes all the way back to the Old Testament with, look at the snake on the pole. If you've been snake bitten, you'll get well. That's called an antidote. That's an answer to what hurts us, what ails us. And you know what else? When we look to Jesus, when we are sick with sin, that is the antidote to our sin. It's looking at Jesus. Let's have us a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being willing to negotiate with us who like to whine. And then when we receive your judgment, you give us a way out of that judgment. Let us recognize this as part of our way of salvation. So help us when we look at the ancient symbols, as well as the modern symbols, the symbol of medicine, the caduceus. Let us recognize how old it is. And let us look to you to find the ways to deal with our sin. Amen. Can you say amen?
Now you can say amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank you all for coming forward. In our bulletin, we see a number of prayer concerns. I call them to your attention. Also, I would invite you to write in the Ritual of Friendship pad that you have in the pew there. If you'd sign in, put your name, your address, your email number, as well as list any prayer concerns that you can think of that we could add to our list. So, there are many issues about which we need to pray. You know them, they're written on your hearts too. So let us, as a community of faith, go to the Lord in prayer during this time of worship. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the beauty of today, the moderating temperatures, and the joy of being outside, the lovely time that we have walking and taking time to look and see how you are changing this, your earth, to see the buds on the trees begin to come out to form leaves. We're grateful for the buttercups that have already popped through the earth and are raining their beautiful yellow to show us that spring is on the way. Thank you for your watch care through the winter, for helping us, even those of us who were injured because of falls and our incapacity to move as we usually do during the winter snow and ice. Thank you also for the cold weather that probably has killed innumerable kinds of bugs that would be plaguing us in the summer. You have a tremendous ecology and a balance, O Lord. Help us to fit into your balance of nature as best we can, that we can take our time to be still in the winter. And then when springtime comes, we make time to clean up our yards, to prepare the earth for planting, and to do all kinds of other things that spring and summer and fall allow us to do. Dear Lord, the springtime of the earth reminds us that our faith is also renewed on a regular basis. Thank you for worship, for allowing us to come to this, your house, and allowing others to come to their churches to praise your name and to enjoy hearing and receiving the word sung, read, and preached, to celebrate the fellowship of Christian believers as we share together. Open our hearts and our minds to hearing what it is that you want us to hear. But God, we confess to you that at times we haven't paid much attention to you. We've been like the children of Israel. We take time to whine, but we don't take time to receive your antidote, your abilities to help us with issues that pile in upon us. We confess also that we have not been faithful in our prayer life, as we should, and consequently, our own souls are out of balance. They become shallow. We can't think things through as you would have us, and we simply fire off emotionally, putting our mouths in gear before our brain tells it what to say. Forgive us for all of our sins. Set us right before you, that we can be finely tuned messengers and witnesses to the faith. Hear also our prayers of intercession. There are many who are having a hard time with their health, others who are bereaved and expecting bereavement at any time, still others who are hurting because of lack of food, lack of proper clothing, lack of ability to heat their homes. Dear Lord, make us mindful, ever mindful, of how fortunate we are but how unfortunate others are. And let us find ways to help the suffering of people everywhere. Lord, many of us are here with our souls hurting. There are issues that are greater than we can handle. So we've come here into your house to help us deal with things that we don't really talk much about, but simply eat us alive like a cancer of the soul. Hear our prayers as we lift these, our silent concerns, to you in silence. Send forth your comforting spirit, your directing and guiding spirit, to give us ways to deal with even the most heinous issues of our soul. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand.
Thank you.
this time we have the privilege of giving back to God his tithes and our offering. This is a very important time during our worship service. It's also a time when all of us look at just how well and how sincerely and how deeply we love God. The scriptures tell us that 10% of everything we make is God's. If we're using part of that 10%, we're taking from God. If we want to give an offering to God, then we give the 11th percentile or the 12th or 13th percentile of our earnings. Money is a very important thing for all of us. It's not just to keep the lights on, but money is also to keep our souls strong. We can tell how strong our faith is by looking at our income tax return. How much do we give to charity, to the church? Are we taking from God, or are we giving what is God's and giving more than what is God's? Will the ushers come forward? Accept, O Lord, this, your money, tithes, and offerings, as we give it to you for use here in this local church and throughout this church's ministry and mission in the community and in the world. Amen.
Shall go by your hand.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from Numbers in the Old Testament and then from John in the New Testament. So let us hear the word of the Lord. First from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, then from John 3, 14 to 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. From the Gospel according to St. John. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Amen." And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. As we found out in the children's address, we do like to whine. All of us love it. That is our pastime. Sometime it would be interesting for each one of us to get simply a piece of paper and at the end of the day reflect upon how many things we've whined about. I'm telling you, we can catalog it, can't we? But this is the human condition. Unless we get too hard on ourselves, let's just remember that whining has been a profession of the human race ever since we came here. Did not Adam whine against Eve for giving him the apple? So on we go, and God understands how we're put together. But God has feelings as well. God gets fed up, just as we have been fed up. Have you ever been fed up with someone whining incessantly, incessantly, incessantly? It's amazing, isn't it? You want to push the button, the stop button, so that it will cease. the way we do that with a television set. Or conversely, we watch our DVR, and when it comes to ads, we fast forward and get rid of it. That's the way we'd like to do with people that whine to us. So whining is our profession. We can whine about the weather. We can whine about politics. Oh, it's a political open season for whining, isn't it? It is truly, truly amazing. And of course, all of us will pay the price for whining politically. It comes to eat us alive. We whine about people. We whine about food. We whine about relationships. Do you have any relationships you whine about? Family, perhaps? People at work that just get all over you? Yes, this is how we are. We're like the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. Moses, through Jesus, through God, I should say, brought them out of the house of bondage. And sooner than later, they started whining about, what are we going to drink? I'm hungry. What are we going to eat? God provided water. God provided manna. Is this all we've got to eat? This manna? There's not much you can do with it. God provided quail. Is quail all we've got to eat? Don't we have some beef somewhere? I'd like a hamburger. No, they didn't have hamburgers back then. But it would be like what we would say if that's all we had, or quail. So finally, God gave them more quail than they knew what to do with. I mean, he covered them up with quail. And guess what? They whined again. God, we've got too much food. This time, he was just over it. So he sent those poison snakes that we've talked about. And so they started striking them. Oh, my. They came to their senses. Moses, tell God we're sinned and we're so sorry. We need some help. Rather than taking the snakes away from them, he gave them a way to get out of the poisonous effect of the snake bite. And that's when we've got the pole on the snake on the pole. You look at that snake on the pole and you'll be healed. I imagine whoever carried that pole with a snake on top of it was very, very popular in that day. Because in my understanding, snakes were everywhere. So, we can easily equate whining to sin. Very easy to equate it, because if we don't do something about that which ticks us off, we're allowing it to exist. And the more we whine about something, the more the ripple effect of our whining infects someone else. Think about it. We know about microbes. We know how exposure to flu, you can get the flu. Oh, my. Virginia and I know about that. 4 weeks ago, we were pretty sick. You know about that, too. But do we not realize that whining and griping affects people? People pick that up from around us. And they say, oh, my goodness, there's that Bill Fowler. He's pastor at Rockwood Methodist Church, and he is whining. Oh, my goodness. Is that what they do at that church, is whine? I got responsibility. But guess what? You do as well. Think about how you and I deal with stuff that ticks us off. And if it's negative, it is sinful, and it ripples, just like you tossed a stone into the water, and you see the ripple effect keep going. What are we to do? We are to do what Jesus said to Nicodemus to do. Look for Jesus being lifted up like the snake on the pole was lifted up in Moses' day. Lift high the cross. The cross of Christ is that which is sacrificial. It's another way of saying, suck it up. Don't let repetition of whining and griping continue through you or through me. Just let it stop where it is. This is another reason that Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on one side of the face, turn to him the other one. Let him slap you over there. Why? Let the violence stop with you. Because if you hit them back, they'll get a stick and hit you with it. And they hit you with a stick, you'll get a brick and hit them with it. And then they pull out their revolver. And you see the revolver coming, you get a shotgun. And then they get their AK-47. And then you get a bomb. And you see how violence escalates. It keeps on going till it's worse and it's worse. So the antidote is lifting up Jesus. Look to Jesus. Ask the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? How many scriptures in here do you find that Jesus is whining? Was Jesus a whiner? Now, things he didn't like. He cleaned up the temple, cleansed the temple. He also took on mano a mano, face to face, the Pharisees who were abusing their education and their position as leaders of the Jewish community. He took them on, but he didn't whine about them. He did something about them. I never will forget the story of a Roman Catholic priest. A Protestant was listening to him talk as they walked up the steps to the church. It was a discussion. They were going to have an ecumenical meeting together, worship together. This woman comes up to him and says, Father, I have sinned. And so he just says, yes, you are already forgiven. Well, what can I do? What can I do to take away this sin? Well, my sister, Jesus has already taken away the sin. Yes, but how do I know that? And there's something interesting that I, as a Protestant, hadn't thought of. Well, why don't you take 14 trips up and down these steps, and that will let you know that Jesus takes away your sin. The other person talking to the Catholic priest says, why'd you ever do that? Going up and down steps doesn't help. Jesus has already taken away the sin. Why'd you tell her to do that? He says, well, it's very easy. If we have something to do which symbolizes taking away of the sin, then we participate in what Christ has already done for us. And in that sense of the word, we are lifting some of the pain from Jesus as he is on the cross for our sins. And I said to myself, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about that at all. Many times we Protestants, we sin, we confess it, and we say, phew, I've confessed my sin. But the ripple effect of the sin continues. What else can we do? We can do something, even though it may be inane, even though it may not be productive. In our moneyed culture, we always look for productivity. We look for the bottom line, etc. That's how we're put together. But we can do something to show God that we are lightening the load of Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for our sin. Think about it. What can we do? When we confess our sin, Jesus has taken it away with his sacrifice. That's like looking to the cross that's lifted up high. But we can participate in that with an act of atonement. Even though for us it may not be meaningful, it is helpful for our soul. So that's one thing that we can certainly do to deal with the ripple effect. But also remember that even though we're guilty of sin, whether it be whining or what, God is still reaching toward us, and he's trying to say, look, Bill Fowler, come home. Come home. Don't just live in that vacuum where you swirl in the negativity. You swirl in it. And that's what we see happening in our political realm, even today. Or I should say, especially today, people just simply throw bombshells into this area, into that area, and people are fighting with each other in Washington. And it's one of the saddest occasions in the history of America, how our people are acting now. Think about it. What kind of spectacle is it? And how are they looking at situations, political situations? Do they look at it from a history of 50 years ago? Do they look at it religiously? Do they look at it racially? And having a graduate degree both in history and in theology, I have to confess to you that much of the negativity toward Obama is because he's a black man. I'll just put it to you. And when I ask my young people in class that question, is a lot of this racially motivated? Many will say, oh no, it's politically motivated. A lot of it is. He deserves a lot of what he's getting as to how he's handled his position. I'll grant him that, and I'll grant his critics that. But then when I turn to a black man, says, what do you think? All this negative stuff toward Obama, is it racist? And without exception, the black man will say yes. Now that's something I want us lily white people to think about. Because issues right now, and how the Senate, and how the House, and how the President, and how the Supreme Court justices are acting, much of it is racially motivated. And I'll put that to you and ask you, is this how Jesus would respond? Is this what Jesus wants for this great country? Is it? Now, if it is, I'm sorry, but we're going down in flames. And we're already moving in that direction. And nobody, but nobody, seems to find a brake pedal to say, no, I think Christians can find it. And I challenge all of us in our prayers and with our letters to write to our congressmen and our senators and our president to say, look, you say it's a Christian nation, then act Christian. Act Christian. Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Instead, we find more bombshells, and it is literally tearing our country apart. I'm speaking to you with great candor, and I'm speaking to you from the heart and from the mind, because I was reared in the 60s. As were many of you. And you know what racism's like. Now, friends, there are answers. But we're not going to find them in the halls of Congress. We're going to find them in the scriptures. We're going to find them by putting on the glasses which allow us to translate the actions that we read about, that we participate in, to translate the actions through the cross that is lifted high. Do we follow Jesus? If that is the case, how did he deal with issues? Issues of race, issues of politics, issues of wealth, of poverty. If we are members of the children of the faith, if we claim that Jesus is our brother and God is our Father, then our actions in this poor country need to witness to Jesus and not to our latent racism. And I challenge us to think about that and to work hard at it. It's very interesting. In the Civil War, many pictures were taken. And you could see plates of them in all of these fantastic atlases of the Civil War. Actual photography was taken. There are many plates that are missing. Do you know why? because by the first time of the First World War, we needed gas masks because of the gas that was used by both sides. So they had the gas mask put on the soldiers. And then they said, we don't have enough plate glass. We've got to have plate glass. So they went to the repositories of the Civil War plates, the negatives, and they cut goggles for the soldiers for their gas masks. So what literally happened was, soldiers in the First World War were fighting that war, looking through the pictures, the negatives, of the Civil War. Now, that's the image I want us to have. We are taught to look at life through the image of the crucified Christ, with him on the cross, forgiving us of our sins and forgiving us of our whining and criticizing. As long as we look at each other and fuss and fight, that's where we stay. But if we look through the image of Christ, as those soldiers in the First World War look through the image of the Civil War, then there will be action which will be positive. And we have to start somewhere. You and I are not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. That's what happened when we professed our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling on you and me to make a difference in this world that is determined to self-destruct. Do we believe that Jesus is the answer for all the sins of the world? Do we believe that? Is Christ the answer? Say amen if you believe that. How weak. You don't believe it very strongly. Let's do better. Amen. This moves from this sanctuary to wherever you go. And when you and I hear whining, start praying. Start praying for the whiner to stop because of the ripple effect. When you and I hear the way things have disintegrated in Washington, and they've been that way for quite a while, you know that as well as I. But when we hear about it, start praying. And I suggest that you drop a letter to our elected representatives and tell them to get their act together and quit acting so juvenile. There are critical issues that need to be debated. And if you look at things through the racist lenses, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and you're going to stay there. And I think race has to be considered. It has to be. Because whether we like it or not, all of us, because of our culture, we are racist to a point. And we have to decide how we're going to deal with the innate racists, which all of us have. Think about it. Because there is an answer. We're a snake bit with our culture. But the answer is not the bronze serpent. The answer is Jesus Christ. Lift it up. Lift high the cross of Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. It's number 127 in the book, and on the screen we'll stand as we sing. There may be persons here who would like to profess their faith in Jesus for the first time. Others who maybe would like to come into the church by transfer of letter, and still others who simply would like to pray about the altar. If you'd come as we sing this hymn, we'll be very pleased to honor your request. Let's stand.
But thou art.
Go forth, people of God. Go forth in peace and in courage. We are placed here for a purpose. Go and be change agents for the Lord. Be witnesses to the love of Christ. And keep every situation in prayer, especially those that deal with whining and gossip. Go in peace.